Trying to predict a strawberry harvest is, it's a bit like looking at a pan of hot oil and trying to guess exactly how many kernels of popcorn are going to pop in the next 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
Right. I mean, it is just pure biological chaos.
Yeah.
You know the heat is on, and the popping is inevitable. But pinning down the precise numbers and the exact timing, that feels almost impossible.
It does. And pinning down that exact timing is actually a multi-billion-dollar problem.
Exactly. So welcome to the deep dive. Today, you and I are unpacking a really fascinating 2025 research paper. It's from the journal Computers and Electronics in Agriculture.
Yeah, a really great read.
It really is. And we're going to see how researchers are attempting to predict these chaotic strawberry harvests by, merging cutting-edge artificial intelligence with the fundamental, unbreakable laws of nature.
It's just a fascinating collision of disciplines. And, when you say it's a multi-billion-dollar problem, the numbers back that up
Oh,
immediately.
for sure.
Yeah, the paper points out that in California alone, strawberry production was a $2.68 billion crop back in 2022. It's just a massive cornerstone of the agricultural economy.
Almost $3 billion. I mean, that's wild. But despite all that money and scale, predicting exactly how many strawberries will be ready to pick and box up next week, it remains notoriously difficult.
Right, because of all the variables.
Exactly. It's an incredibly high-stakes guessing game for the farmers. But today, we're going to explore how tractor-mounted cameras, an AI named YOLO, and a biological cheat sheet are entirely changing the rules of that game.
It's a really brilliant progression of problem solving, but to understand how they predict the future of the crop, we first have to look at how they perfectly capture the present.
Right. You can't forecast what you can't accurately see,
Exactly.
which makes perfect sense. So let's talk about the hardware first, given the farmer's eyes. The researchers essentially built a mobile surveillance unit for the strawberry beds.
They did, yeah.
They took a metal frame and mounted a sensing kit right to the front of a standard farm tractor. We're talking two high-resolution RGB cameras facing outward, a GPS unit, a cellular module to transmit data, and an onboard computer to process it all.
Right, and the physical placement on the front of the tractor is key here. As the tractor simply drives down the rows doing its, normal daily tasks, those two cameras are capturing continuous high-resolution imagery.
Just constantly snapping photos.
Yeah, of the plant beds on both the left and the right side simultaneously. It's this massive, passive data collection effort happening in the background.
That's so efficient.
It is. The GPS tracks the precise coordinates of where the photos are taken, though the researchers noted a tricky physical constraint.
Oh, the offset thing.
Right. They had to account for about a 1.5 meter offset between where the GPS receiver physically sits on the tractor's roof and where the actual fruit is located down in the images.
Yeah, and if you, the listener, imagine trying to point a laser pointer at a tiny moving target on your desk from across the room while you're walking, you can understand why that 1.5 meter offset is a massive headache.
Oh, absolutely.
Precision matters when you're mapping millions of berries. So they drive the tractor, they take thousands of high-definition photos, and then they feed all those images into an AI model, specifically an object detection model called YOLOV-10s.
Right.
Now, YOLO stands for You Only Look Once, and the S stands for the small version.
Yeah, and that acronym, You Only Look Once, it actually explains how the AI functions.
Okay, how so?
Well, older image recognition models, they used to scan a photo in a grid, block by block, looking for an object.
Yeah.
It was slow. YOLO looks at the entire image in one single pass.
Oh, wow. All at once.
Exactly. It evaluates all the pixels and the relationship simultaneously. And the small version sacrifices a tiny bit of ultimate precision for incredible processing speed.
Which you need if you're driving a tractor.
Exactly. It's crucial when you're dealing with thousands of photos from a moving vehicle. Its primary job is to look at these photos and detect six specific stages of a strawberry's life. The researchers call these the phenological
And
stages.
those six stages are the foundation for everything.
Okay.
The model is trained to identify the flower, then the green fruit, small white, large white, pink, and finally the red, completely ripe fruit.
Right.
Though I did notice a fun little hiccup in the paper here. Originally, the researchers were going to have a small green stage and a regular green stage, but they realized that was asking a bit much of the AI.
Yeah, it was just too much noise.
Right, so they merged them into just one green category.
It was a necessary simplification for sure. And overall, the YOLOV-10s model performed quite well at this task. The paper states it achieved what's called an MAP at 50 of 0.74 across all those classes.
Okay, let's pause right there. Because MAP at 50 of 0.74, that sounds like a Wi-Fi password.
Yeah, it's a bit dense.
What does that actually mean in plain English? How is the AI being graded here?
That's a great question. It comes down to something called intersection over union, or IOU.
Right.
Imagine you draw a perfect invisible box around a real strawberry in a photo. That's the ground truth. Now, the AI comes along and draws its own box where it thinks the strawberry is.
You got it.
The IOU is simply how much those two boxes overlap. The at 50 part means the AI's box only has to overlap the real strawberry's box by 50% to be counted as a correct detection.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have to be totally perfect.
Exactly. So an MAP at 50 of 0.74 basically means that 74% of the time, the AI is successfully drawing a box that covers at least half of the actual target fruit.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and in the chaotic, overlapping environment of a farm, that is a very solid accuracy score.
Right, because it just has to grab the bulk of it. But it wasn't perfect, right? Looking at the paper's confusion matrix, which is, you know, essentially a scorecard showing exactly where the AI gets confused, the model struggled the most with the pink stage.
Precisely, because pink is merely a transition phase, depending on the shadows or the angle of the sun at that time of day or, you know, leaves partially blocking the fruit. A pink strawberry can easily look entirely white or entirely red to a camera lens.
Oh, sure. The lighting changes everything.
Exactly. The model also had some trouble with the flowers, primarily because of motion blur. Remember, these cameras are strapped to a bouncing tractor driving through an uneven dirt field.
Right.
A delicate white flower blurs much faster than a dense, heavy red berry.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on this vision system a little bit.
Sure.
Recognizing a bright red strawberry against a background of green leaves makes logical sense. The contrast is huge.
Sure.
But recognizing a green strawberry against a background of green leaves, that sounds insanely difficult for a computer. It sounds like a Where's Waldo situation, except Waldo is wearing a leaf suit and hiding in a green forest. How does the AI not just see a giant solid wall of green?
It's an excellent point, and it gets right to the heart of why Yolov TENS is such a powerful tool here. The AI isn't just applying a dumb color filter. It's looking for complex features, shapes, and textures. It learns the subtle geometry of a green strawberry.
So it's looking at the shape, not just the color.
Exactly. It's looking for the specific dimples of the seeds, the curve of the fruit, the distinct shape of the crown features that physically distinguish it from a flat green leaf.
Wow.
Yeah, it uses deep mathematical layers to extract those features. It's true pattern recognition, not just color recognition.
That is wild. Okay, so the AI has essentially painted us a perfect high-resolution map of where every green, white, and pink berry is today.
Correct.
But a farmer doesn't sell green berries. Knowing what's in the field today doesn't automatically tell you what will be in the basket next Tuesday.
Yeah.
How did they bridge the gap between a static map of today and a dynamic future prediction?
And that is the massive hurdle of this research. Moving from raw static data collection to actual reliable forecasting. To do this, they couldn't use YOLO anymore.
They needed something else.
Right. They had to use a completely different kind of AI architecture called a long short-term memory network, or an LSTM.
Right, an LSTM. And its entire job is to look at sequences of data over time and predict what comes next.
Exactly.
Because unlike older, simpler neural networks that essentially have amnesia and only look at the data right in front of them, an LSTM has a sort of internal conveyor belt.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, it has memory gates that allow it to hold on to a long-term trend from 2 weeks ago while simultaneously forgetting irrelevant short-term noise from yesterday.
Exactly. It's built specifically for time series forecasting. So the researchers fed this LSTM the raw counts of those six growth stages from the previous 15 picking sessions, plus the time intervals between those specific sessions.
Right.
But those time intervals introduced a major complication. The picking sessions on a real farm are not perfectly regular.
It is the weather, right?
Yeah, weather or the peak of the season. The farm might harvest once a week or twice a week. The time between data collection ranged anywhere from 2 to 19 days.
Which is an absolute nightmare for an algorithm.
It really is. LSTMs are generally fantastic at handling time series data, but dealing with highly irregular intervals like a 2-day gap followed by a 19-day gap, it makes forecasting incredibly difficult.
I can imagine.
Especially when you're just feeding the AI raw, untreated counts of berries. The researchers tested a baseline LSTM and an older statistical model called Aramax, just feeding them the raw numbers of flowers, green berries, white berries, and so on.
Let me jump in here. Aramax is a more traditional statistical tool, right? It looks at moving averages and past trends, but it doesn't have the deep learning brain of a neural network.
Correct. It's a robust statistical model, but both the Aramax and the baseline LSTM struggled significantly when fed just the raw counts.
Why is that?
Well, what's fascinating here is the underlying reason why they failed. If you just tell an AI, I have 100 green strawberries in the field today, the AI mathematically assumes that is a monolithic block of data.
Like they're all identical.
Right. But biologically, not all green fruits ripen at the exact same rate. Some of those berries have been green for a week. Some just turned green yesterday.
Ah, I see.
Raw counts completely lack the nuanced biological context of time.
Okay, if you, the listener, are trying to picture this, imagine you are sitting in a crowded waiting room at a doctor's office.
Okay.
You are trying to guess who is going to get called back to see the doctor next, based purely on how many people are sitting in the chairs.
Yeah.
You aren't allowed to walk over to the receptionist and look at what time their actual appointments are.
Right.
You just see 20 bodies. It's just noise.
Yeah.
You might see a lot of people, but you have absolutely no idea when they're scheduled to go in.
That is a perfect analogy. The raw count from the cameras is just the crowded waiting room.
Oh.
To actually predict the flow of patients, or in this case, the yield of ripe strawberries,
yeah.
You desperately need the appointment schedule.
Right.
You need to know the temporal trajectory of each individual in that room. And since the AI couldn't magically look at a photo and know the exact age and days of every single green berry, the researchers had to invent a way to forcefully give the AI that schedule.
And how they did this is the core innovation of the whole paper. Hold on, let me make sure I explain this clearly because it's brilliant.
Go for it.
Because raw data was too noisy, the researchers realized they needed to give the AI a biological cheat sheet. They moved from a blind, purely mathematical AI to what they call a physically constrained model.
Yes. This is where the realms of plant biology and computer science elegantly collide. The researchers mapped out the standard physical growth cycle of a strawberry.
Based on actual biology.
Right. Based on established botanical studies, they charted roughly how long it takes for one specific stage to transition to the next. For instance, it takes about 20 days for a flower to become a green fruit. From green to small white is another 10 days. From large white to pink is roughly 10 days. And from pink to a harvest-ready red fruit is just about 2 days.
So the total journey from a delicate flower opening up in the sun to a red, juicy strawberry being picked by a farmer is roughly 40 to 44 days.
Exactly. And they used this biological timeline to create what they call phenological weights. They built a mathematical filter based entirely on these natural time frames.
Okay, hold on. Weights, like physical weight.
Mm-hmm.
Or mathematical importance.
Mathematical importance.
Okay, walk me through exactly what happens to the math when the farmer says, I'm harvesting in 2 days. Because this concept is the key to the whole operation.
Let's walk through the exact scenario. Let's say the interval to the next harvest, what the math calls delta T, is exactly 2 days.
Right.
The AI looks at the count of flowers currently in the field, but instead of just passing that raw number of flowers to the forecasting brain, the filter applies a weight of 0 to the flowers.
Wait, it multiplies it by 0.
It literally multiplies the flower count by 0. Why? Because a flower physically, biologically cannot turn into a ripe red strawberry in 2 days.
Oh, because the appointment time is too far out.
Exactly. The math essentially deletes the flower data from the immediate forecast, telling the AI, do not distract yourself with these flowers. They are completely irrelevant to what happens on Tuesday.
Wow. Okay, but what about the berries that are close?
Right. For that same 2-day forecast, the mathematical weight applied to the pink strawberry count is extremely high. The filter multiplies the pink count by a large number, telling the AI, pay extremely close attention to the pink ones. They are your immediate future.
But if you stretch that timeline out, say the farmer wants a forecast for 40 days from now, suddenly the math flips entirely.
It does.
The pink berries get a weight of 0. Because they'll be long gone by then, you know, either picked, eaten by birds, or rotted into the dirt. But the flower count gets a massive weight because those tiny flowers are exactly what will be ripening 40 days down the line.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture of computer science, you can see the profound shift in methodology here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Traditionally, we feed deep learning models massive oceans of raw data and just hope that through millions of brute force computations, the AI magically figures out the hidden patterns on its own.
Right. Just throwing data at the wall.
Exactly. But here, the researchers didn't wait for the AI to learn biology. By injecting these time-based weights, they forced the neural network to obey the physical rules of plant growth.
That's amazing.
They simulated actual biological evolution inside the math, filtering out the noise before the AI even had to think about it.
Okay, let me unpack this just to make sure I'm fully wrapping my head around it. Instead of hoping the AI eventually figures out how strawberries grow through brute force, they essentially hard-coded the natural biological speed limit of a strawberry directly into the algorithm. They taught the AI the laws of physics.
That is exactly what they did. They mathematically constrained the AI's universe so that it perfectly matches the biological reality of the farm. They gave it the speed limits.
That is incredible. It's not just artificial intelligence anymore. It's practically organic intelligence.
It really is.
But of course, theoretical math in a research paper is one thing. The real test is the harvest. We have to ask, did teaching the AI the laws of biology actually work out there in the dirt and mud of a real operating farm?
The short answer is yes. It worked wonderfully.
Okay.
The paper provides a detailed breakdown of the performance metrics. They compared their new phenologically weighted LSTM model against the baseline untreated LSTM and that older Aramax statistical model.
And how did it do?
The physically constrained model hit an R-squared score of 0.74.
Which means what, exactly, in this context?
Well, R-squared measures how well the model's predictions explain the actual variance in the real-world data, with 1.0 being a perfectly magical prediction of the future.
Right.
So 0.74 is incredibly strong. It also achieved a mean absolute percentage error, or MPE, of 39.4%.
Wait, I'd stop you there. An error rate of almost 40%.
I know, it sounds...
I mean, if a farmer is expecting 100,000 berries and only gets 60,000, that is a financial disaster. Why is a 39.4% error considered a massive leap forward here? That sounds like a failing grade.
It sounds high if you compare it to, like, a factory assembly line. But you have to remember the inherent, unavoidable chaos of agriculture.
Okay.
A farm is not a factory. In the real world, a sudden heat wave can cause an entire field to ripen 3 days early. A localized frost can stunt growth. Pests can wipe out a row overnight.
Yeah, that's true. The cameras can't see the future weather.
Right. And the baseline models that were just blindly guessing from raw counts had error rates that were 11 to 19% worse across the board.
Oh, wow.
So in the context of predicting biological chaos outdoors, closing that gap and hitting a 39.4% MAPE is a huge, statistically significant win. It gives the farmer a highly educated baseline rather than a blind guess.
Okay, I see. It's about relative improvement in an unpredictable environment. So what does this actually mean for you listening to this? Why should anyone outside of an agricultural robotics lab care about these percentages?
That's a fair question.
Because an accurate forecast directly translates to the real world of food supply, grocery prices, and economics.
Yes.
If a massive grower knows with high confidence that a huge wave of berries is turning red in exactly 5 days, they can optimally manage their resources. They know exactly how many human pickers to hire. Mm-hmm. Not too many standing around doing nothing, not too few letting the fruit rot.
Right.
They can manage their massive cold storage spaces. They can call their distributors and close early sales before the fruit is even plucked off the bush. It saves millions of dollars, it dramatically reduces food waste at the source, and it smooths out the friction in the global supply chain that brings food to your table.
And, you know, this is really just the beginning. The researchers are already actively looking at how to scale this up and close that remaining error gap. Oh. Well, in the future, instead of a camera mounted to a tractor, this high-resolution imagery could be collected automatically by fleets of drones flying over the fields every morning.
Oh, that makes sense.
They also talked about integrating live weather data. Right now, those mathematical weights are based on standard average gross times.
Right.
But a heat wave physically speeds up ripening, and a cold snap slows it down. Integrating real-time weather could dynamically shift those weights day by day.
That'd be huge.
Yeah. They even discussed using virtual plant growth simulators, like a sophisticated program called Helios, to automatically optimize the weights. Or using the light reflectance of the leaves themselves to measure the underlying health and water stress of the plant.
So we are essentially moving toward the cyborg farmer, the perfect partnership of human intuition and mathematically constrained AI.
Pretty much.
Let's briefly recap the elegant journey of this deep dive. We started with a standard tractor bouncing along the dirt using advanced lightning-fast cameras to take pictures of leaves and fruit.
Right.
We recognize that Just blindly counting those fruits with raw AI was hitting a mathematical wall, because numbers completely lack the context of time.
Exactly.
And the incredible breakthrough came when researchers solved that by marrying artificial intelligence with the biological timeline of a simple fruit creating phenological weights to literally tell the AI what matters and what doesn't.
By constraining the artificial intelligence with natural laws, they created a tool that actually understands the physical rhythm of the farm, rather than just taking a sterile, disconnected inventory.
It's an incredible shift in how we use data. The researchers solved this massive agricultural puzzle by mathematically constraining the AI with the natural biological speed limit of a strawberry.
Right.
But think about this for a second. What happens when we apply these kinds of phenological weights to human biology?
Oh, wow.
Right. If an AI tracks the visual microscopic stages of a cellular mutation, and we mathematically constrain that AI with the known biological timeline of a disease, could we predict a patient's exact medical future weeks before they feel a single symptom?
That is a wild thought.
We've finally figured out how to teach AI the speed limits of life. Now it's just a question of, well, what do we point the cameras at next? Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us. Keep questioning the data, and we'll catch you next time.